American speaker.
How you pronounce her name?
Delphine from South Potomac area.
Hi, I'm Delphine. I'm an addict.
Hi,
an addict, I learned, is a man or a woman whose life is controlled by drugs, who suffers from the disease of addiction, which can manifest itself in many, many ways, including drugs, but not only drugs. And, you know, I learned that as I stayed in recovery, that the drugs was not the only way that my addiction came out. It's in so many other areas. I'm really nervous. I don't share much. When I first came into rooms, I shared a lot. You know, I could talk for a long time. You know, as I got cleaner, I kind of got quieter. I used to share just about, the madness. Just the madness. And this woman had said, she said, share the message, not the mess. And I was like, is she talking to me? You know? And, if I knew what the message was, I wouldn't have to share the mess. You know, and the message must be in the mess somewhere, but I just don't know where it is. You know, I got to talk about it so maybe somebody can help me find the message, But today I will tell you, I've listened long enough, and I hear a message. I know a message. I know today, when I first came around, I didn't know what the hell they was talking about a message, but I know the message is hope. I didn't know that the message is supposed to be hope, they want me to share about something I don't know. The message is hope, that any addict can stop using, find a new way of life. Well, any addict can stop using, lose the desire, and find a new way of life. Okay, I learned that. I know that. That's the message. That's the message. The message is hope. And so, today, thank God, I don't have to share all that mess. Today I don't have no mess to talk to you about, it's just okay, because through the steps I've learned how to deal with that stuff, I've learned how to deal with life. I don't like life on life's terms. My biggest problem is daily living, from the time I get up in the morning, trying to get to work on time. Those are my issues, the daily things, the cooking and the cleaning and the balancing, just the little normal daily living stuff that I struggle with. Those are my problems. I want to pass these pictures around. When I first came, this is my ninth convention. When I first came around here, my spirit was so dead and ugly. If you pass around, the first picture you know that little ugly look on my face, anger, just hurt, pain. You could just see it. Even though, the body's all right, the clothes all right, the hair all right, but that ugly, dirty look, and the isolation from people. And, I told them when I came up here, I think that was my first convention, my sponsor said, okay, come on, go with me. And I was going to share a room with her. I was scared to death because, I had isolated so long. What the hell I was going to do? What was I going to talk to her about in the same room, So, that was my first convention. My second convention is in that picture. And I told them I don't take pictures. Because they all around smiling, everybody posing and all that. I don't take pictures, No. They like, okay, what is wrong with her? But they let me be. They let me be whatever I was being at that time. And I tell you, the next pictures you see is years later here in Ocean City again. I was able to not isolate myself away from folks. I was able to get involved now. I have a smile on my face. That you can see the peace in me. And I thank God, that I'm not that same evil spirited person that's in that first picture. My daughter looked at that picture, she said, Mommy, what was wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know, That is embarrassing. I almost want to tear the picture up and don't show nobody. But the truth is the truth. And, my story, I'm gonna get to it real quick. I've used for 20 years. over 20 years. And, you know, I started at 14 with some marijuana, but that somehow that wasn't enough. You know, I wanted to put something on top of it, so to give it some boost, you know. And that was what I liked. I liked the boost, the PCP, and I did that for 10 years or whatever. Then that became not enough, you know. And so I was interested in, introduced into the crack. And from there, it was just crazy. Just totally crazy. I tried to get off of it. I could not get off of it. I was in and out of the rooms year after year, time after time. Could not get the program. What I would do, I would come into the rooms, and I wanted to drink. I kept seeing this green Heineken bottle, you know. And at the time, the third tradition said that the only requirement for membership is an honest desire to stop using. And I didn't have an honest desire, I thought, because I kept seeing that green Heineken bottle, you know. So, I mean, of course, I slid on out the room, and I proceeded to drink. And I would do this, and I thought that I was recovering because I wasn't using hard drugs. I thought just because I was drinking that I was recovering, and I was doing all right. And lo and behold, every 4 to 6 months, I would be back out using crack. And I didn't know why. You know, this happened for 3-4 years, the same thing. In and out of the rooms, and I didn't know why. I went to the psychiatrist, and she said, you just got to stop that drinking that alcohol. And at that time, I thought she was crazy, because I was like, well, I said, what am I going to drink? You know? I really could not imagine what she was talking about. You know, what am I going to drink? And she just looked at me and shook her head. And, you know... Once I stopped drinking, I came back into the rooms. I didn't use anymore. But before that, my last day of using, based on everything that happened to me or for me, which includes her story, lots of other women's story, but a woman's story don't have to include tricking. I want everybody to know that it's based on the feelings that I felt. It's not, you know, so you don't have to compare out. You didn't have to go out on the corner like I did. You didn't have to do the things that I did. It's based on how I felt. On the last day of my using, I mean, I truly could not stop. On the last day of my using, I decided to shoot myself. I mean, I couldn't stop. I could, like the book said, you can't live with it, you can't live without it. You know, so what's the purpose of living, as far as I was concerned? So, you know, that's what I did, but that did not work. And that was my bottom. I couldn't find my bottom. You know, I was digging for it. I mean, pain, but I couldn't find the bottom. Where is the bottom? You know, I couldn't find it. And, you know, people today tell me, you know, my bottom was there all the time. All I had to do was pick one. You know? I didn't know that, but far as I was concerned, I couldn't find the bottom, you know. So I come back into the rooms this time, and, you know, I did what they said to do. Before, I would pick and choose what I want to do, you know. But this time, I came back into the rooms, and they told me to go to the meetings on a regular basis. They told me to get a sponsor, pray, and work the steps. And, you know, that's what I did, and I stopped drinking, you know. And when I decided not to drink anymore and to do the things that the program told me to do, I was able to stay clean. And I've been clean for 9 years now, going on 10. And I could not stop using for nothing. I could not get this program until I did the things that they said do. Today, you know, normally I would get up and I would talk about my husband, blame him for everything. I would talk about everything. Like I told you, I talk about a lot of mess. But I'm so grateful, you know, that I have a life. Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life through the steps. I didn't know how to live my life. They told me about principles. I mean, I didn't even think about no trust. I didn't even know what the word meant, you know. And I looked it up in the dictionary. I didn't know nothing about no honesty. I didn't even give a thought to a principle. What they talking about? But they taught me these principles and gave me something to go by. Something to live for, you know, and they really actually showed me how to live my life, because I didn't know what the heck I was doing, You know, today I live my life by these principles that they have taught me. It's been hard for me because I'm the type of person where my conscience can't take a whole lot. And I look around and I see what other people do. And, you know, I try, I'm like, how the heck can they do that? And they work in the program. But I've come to know that it's just whatever you can live with. You know, I can't live with a whole lot of stuff. Now, you know, if I can live with it, then I can do it. Because it amazes me how sometimes I can be so straight line, and then and the next day I would do some stuff. And, you know, I know that I'm not perfect. And that's the humility. That's humility, knowing that I'm not perfect. I'm just so happy to have my life back. You know, not me. I'm not an addict. I don't want to be an addict. Heck no, not me. Oh, no. Lord knows. Mm-mm. But I have to admit and accept that, yes, I'm an addict. I messed around and I got addicted. You know, I got addicted. And my life turned to just a total hell. And I have no good memories of that addiction. I have no memories. Some people can talk about it and be just as happy. It ain't no memories in mine. Ain't no happiness. No happy stories that I can tell you in that addiction. What I try to do the service. But the service, you know, with my life, my daily living, and trying to balance the service, but I still do it. Last week, I rode all the way to Reston, trying to take my daughter to ballet class, get her out of ballet, drive all the way to Reston, Virginia, talking about some regional service, you know. But I know I got to do something. I got to stay involved, and that's what keeps me connected. This program has truly helped me to get a life. Thanks for letting me share.